shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome.
Welcome, Father.
Wow, we're running it. Nothing new under the sun. I'm just flying into the studio.
So just gave us just a mild heart
attack. Yeah, right.
Just a mild.
Well, you know how it is in the parish, you know, just
parish life. It's like the ER.
Well, it's good to be back, Daniel. It's
welcome back, everybody.
You and Tony and Christina. I was in three week retreat and Lenten retreat. So it was pretty good. Actually, good, but I'm happy to be back.
Right.
It was a nice vacation. I mean, not for you, Father.
For you.
For us.
I feel like I'm always on vacation.
It's good that I'm gone, right?
No, we did miss you, Father. So, at least we got to see you over the week.
I came back for one of the weekends. Two of the weekends, yes. But I had to be gone the one weekend. I really don't like being gone from the parish. We're getting ready for confirmation tomorrow, actually.
It's
Wednesday, yeah.
A little over 50 confirmandi.
That's great.
And so the whole weekend, I got back Friday, and the whole weekend I was hearing confessions. We had so much going on. This is the beauty of the parish, you know. So we had confessions in the morning, starting at 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, then I had an adult baptism, and then followed by another baptism. Then I was back in the confessional until 1 o'clock. And I mean, really, 1 o'clock, left a little after 1 for the quinceañera. Then after the quinceañera, went into the confessions, or rather the mass, and then back into the confessions.
It's the marathon.
At night, and that went pretty late. And then, of course, Sunday is full day in confessions. And then I just had this morning, which is why I'm kind of running a little bit frazzled, because I had confessions for the eighth graders, because they're going to be confirmed as well. So we have all these different
confession groups.
Yeah. So, but it was really good, and I was really proud of the eighth graders, because they all, by heart, gave the beautiful act of contrition. They said they all said it very, very well.
You know, Father, I get nervous when I go to confession. I should, right? But I blank out with the acts of contrition.
You what?
I blank out. I have to have it in front of me.
Because I get so nervous.
Yeah.
A lot. You have cause for nervousness, I think, right?
Yes. Yes. So I need a lot of prayers. We all do.
I don't think you've ever come to my confession.
I only went once.
I'm not asking you to do
it. No. I only went once to you, and that was actually face to face.
Was it?
And that was it.
Yes, and that was it. I never came back. Because I started working with you, so I said, no, he'll fire me if I
could. You know, I tell you, when I came to the parish, I remember my first confession in Spanish.
Wow.
I remember the girl, it was a girl who they moved away from the parish, but they come back. But every time I see her, I say, I remember, you know, that's one confession I really remember. And she was so nice. Don't remember her name though, in Spanish.
And you already spoke.
Because I couldn't speak Spanish.
I was going to say, did you understand?
That's a good question, you know. But I didn't speak Spanish. So it was really, really, I'll tell you that.
You weren't speaking Spanish, no?
I wasn't speaking Spanish. Those first years were really, really hard.
Yes.
And because it was like you're thrown into the ocean and you've just got to swim.
Swim.
You know?
Now, this is going to be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it.
Okay. There's no dumb question.
Well, just dumb people, right? No.
No, it's just well.
You read my mind.
True.
If you don't understand, and I always wonder about this when you go and it's somebody that might not, a priest that doesn't know English.
Right.
But I guess I'm answering my own question. I guess that it's valid because even if you don't understand
right.
in the presence or in the guise of Christ, you can... It's right. valid.
It's valid.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, if the person is confessed there, because, you know, when I started my priesthood, I was at St. Hyacinth, and that was Polish.
That's
and so I heard Polish confessions. I didn't speak Polish.
Right.
And now I don't really speak it, but I understand a lot of it, and I do Mass in Polish ever since Father Edmund died.
Yes.
So I, you know, it was again there. You just got to do it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very, very hard. That's a very hard language.
It is
language.
Hard. It's yeah. very rich, and the pronunciation yeah, is just, very hard.
It's all consonants.
Yes.
But you think of a priest that, like yourself, that all three languages you have to, in a sense, know.
Right.
Well, you have a gift for languages, right. Father.
I don't think so. I think
yes,
it's
because you learned Spanish and. Like in about a
like
year.
Like in 30 were, years.
30 years.
I'm still learning.
I'm 34 years here, so I'm still, and I say I only speak one language, and that language not so good, not so well. Now, see, what do you say, not so
not
well?
So well.
Not so well.
I say not so well.
And that's English. Mm-hmm. So I'm a student of these other languages.
Right.
And you know what's interesting is the Italian, because like right now, I can't even wrap my head around the Italian, yet I lived in Italy for a year. I went to Italy I need to get back there. I usually go every year. I haven't been back since the pandemic. But I studied in Rome, and I studied in, my classes were all in Italian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you learn the Italian, because I actually, when I was in sabbatical, I studied Italian, and I could get by easy. Mm-hmm. Right now, I can't speak it. Now, if I go to Italy, in that ocean,
mm-hmm.
then you're able to swim.
And
it's just like it all comes
up.
Back.
Yeah. This is very similar to Spanish.
It's like cousin language
yes.
to Spanish.
I'll never forget when you came back from your sabbatical, and every time you celebrated Spanish Mass, you would throw in the Italian.
Right,
yes.
Because they're
so similar.
So similar. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Anyway, pray.
We
yes.
pray. Let's pray.
Yes.
Let's do pray.
We just.
Can you believe we're in the fourth week of
no.
Lent?
It's unbelievable.
No, cannot.
Where is the time going? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins, and those of the whole world. for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America, and in fact the entire world, to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So somebody gave me last night, I've got it, do I have it here in my pocket? A statue of Saint Joseph. Says you got to keep this always. She said you've got the. She's given this to me, to be kept in my pocket. It's a little statue of Saint Joseph, and I don't think I have it.
Oh. So what if she's listening to you on the radio?
Oh yeah, you have it.
Do I have it?
No, stop lying.
Yes, car keys.
Don't have it. Car keys. I have my rosary. I always carry the rosary.
Yeah, the same here. Yeah.
So before we get into a break and serious business. Did you see Hector?
No, I have not.
He's here?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't believe this, Christina, but I mean, this is
Oh, you mentioned it on Sunday, yeah.
Did I mention on Sunday?
After the Mass.
You had after me mass. Thinking about this all...
I was thinking about it.
So when I came here, Hector was in the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's a long story, and it's I'm not going to bore.
I remember when Hector came home from the hospital.
What?
Oh, my God.
You come way back. That's right. Yes. You would, because you lived right across
the
street.
Didn't want to one-up you, but yes.
You, that is one-up on me. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That's really interesting.
And that's how I've been feeling for these past few days.
So this Hector we're talking about,
yeah,
he was a fifth grader when I came here. They came in from Texas, so this all these people are related, the Villegas family and the Arroyo, they married into the, it's just, anyway, there's...
One big clan.
It's a big clan. Yes. I call it a nation.
Nation.
But like I said, when your father and I used to go to the masses every week to different homes, the first 6 years I was here, and he said, everywhere we went,
right.
This is me, compadre, or this is
my cousin.
This is all over Chicago.
Tons of cousins. Yeah. Yes.
And so I said, well, you know, one thing I learned really quick is don't say anything bad about anybody because everybody's related. Everybody's part of the same family.
That's right.
It's amazing. But Hector, because we had a baptism, a Holy Communion, mm-hmm. we're going to have a confirmation. They came in from Texas because this is their home. This is their roots. And I had Hector was fifth grade. Okay, so you remember when he was brought home.
Yes.
Newly born baby. I came here. He was in the fifth grade. I had his wedding. Then I had... his confirmation, mm-hmm. his wedding, and now they came in from Texas. He's a grandfather.
Yeah.
He's a grandfather. And really his father and his grandfather, they all look alike.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. He looks just like his father.
And they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people.
Yes.
You know, do you remember when he married Magdalena? Because they were very young, I think.
Yeah.
They were.
Because she's a Villegas.
She's a Villegas. And I remember Hector even before he was born, his sister, Lisbeth.
Well, you do too. So,
we go way back to
So you guys beat me.
It's funny. Yep, I'm thinking of it. I don't even want to. I don't want to dog him out on this radio.
He's listening.
I'm sure he's. I know he's listening.
Well, he's in Chicago, so I don't
he's
know.
He's always listening. But it's like, I remember something that happened as a little kid. When we were all together, and I don't want to say I'm stopping myself from saying.
Do say
now. No, you say you started it. Now finish it.
Hey, Hector knows.
No, but
we'll ask Hector.
They are they're just the nicest, the greatest people, and and he and his wife have done such a beautiful job in raising their children, and and it's just amazing because I remember the little girls.
Yeah.
They're very old fashioned. Because the little girls, as they were little girls, they would always have bows in their hair and all that.
The braids,
and it was very uncommon, at that time.
And Ivan, I'm telling you, it was almost like deja vu again for me.
Deja vu, exactly.
Just like Hector.
Just like Hector.
Just like Hector.
Like father, like son.
Exactly.
And he's got his beautiful wife. She's from Texas, and all that. But really, and then of course I had a quinceañera after, and. Aidita, who was a student in our school as well. Then I had her quinceañera when she turned 15. And then I had her wedding 20 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
And just had her daughter's quinceañera.
Oh, my.
My goodness.
Every weekend.
You have
like
me beat.
it does something to your head because you're sitting there saying, well, I can't calculate this. And I spent all day Saturday into Sunday trying to figure out, okay, now how is it that Hector can be a grandfather.
Yes.
He doesn't even look like a grandfather. And then even during the baptism, because we were, again, a baptism, Holy Communion, and we're going to have a confirmation. So we're dealing with multiple members of the family. They all came up from Texas. But before the baptism, I just said, Hector, you're a grandfather. No, you can't be a grandfather. Then they were the godparents to this baby that was being baptized, this young girl who was being baptized. And then Magdalena was the godmother. And then I looked at her and I said, and you're the grandmother.
The grandmother.
It just doesn't, time is just flying.
Yeah. It is.
It is flying. And every week I become so much more aware of the passing of time. Yeah. And it's not only me, everybody else is saying the same thing. So Tony, you know, if you remember when he was born.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
That's right. When we were talking, we were talking on Sunday, I you left that in my head, and all day we were talking about it.
Just crazy. And his father's doing great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still working. Mm-hmm. Still working.
It's this generation's father that they can't stop working. That's what keeps them
And why
young.
Is it that everybody looks the same to me? Even though I mean,
isn't
some people have aged, you can say, you know, certainly yesterday I felt, and I don't know if it was because of the weekend, but I mm-hmm. felt like I looked really, really, really old. And but that's just the reality of life, isn't it? So anyway, we should take a break. But you know, I say, you know, get down to some serious business. But this is all part of the stuff of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing, really. And you know, the nice thing is, and we have to take a certain consolation in this reality that we're all moving in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, if I consider myself this crotchety old man. I hope I'm not crotchety. On Mondays I am, you know.
I might be, but you're not.
On Mondays I am. But I know that others are following right behind, right? I remember when my father died, it just came to my mind right after he died, because I offered all the prayers of the church, and I was down there for his death. And it really was a beautiful death. And when he died, I remember saying, you know, we're coming. How was it that I said? I don't remember exactly how I said, but I said, you know, because there was just this outburst of grief, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden this kind of peace came over all of us. But I remember saying, Dad, we'll be there. We're coming as well. Anyway, that's life, you know, the reality of life. We will take a break and then come back and... Yes, get into something a little bit more serious, perhaps. Don't go away. I am, let's see, I forget, it's been 3 weeks. So when going into break, simply say, okay, simply say, I'm Father
Sounds
Anthony.
Familiar.
On Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
Christina, stop crying.
Stop crying, you cry baby. Why do
you
do
that? Sorry, it was just wrong.
Just throwing a tantrum.
You should never have said that to her during the break.
I should never have said that, I'm sorry.
So.
Well, that means I'm still young.
You're still young. You're still.
That's just a baby.
Well, I still see you as right out of high school, you know, so. I remember going to her high school, and I think that was the first time I saw you, actually. You were playing the drums.
I had a drum solo. I'm a drummer, so.
That's crazy,
too,
when you
think about that. I was surprised to see you there, too.
Well, I actually went for Michelle Kraft.
Yes.
Didn't go for you. I went for Michelle.
No, I didn't go for Christina, because I had just left the parish where Michelle was at and came here, and I was invited to her concert. But I had met the Carrasco family.
Right. Yes.
Matteo, Leticia, and all that. I don't know if I had met you yet, Christine, or not, but...
Probably...
I think I must have.
Because
actually, do you remember I had lunch at your house?
Yes, you did. You came and you blessed the house.
Yeah.
And after that... No, I'm just kidding. You had the... you blessed the house.
It's been downhill after that, right?
Then afterwards you called... No, when I was in college, then you... I was hired here.
Speaking of blessings, I'll never forget, you know, when I was first ordained a priest, I was on the porch of St. Hyacinth's, and one of the parishioners came up, his name is Marco, and he asked if I would bless his car. He got a new, car.
This is why I've never had you bless my car.
Don't ever.
So I said, I'd be happy to. So I blessed it, and then it didn't start. It wouldn't start after I blessed it, you know, so.
Well, you know, after you blessed my car, Father... they stole something from the car.
Wow.
And then I put an alarm. As they were trying to put the alarm, the guy dropped the key into some hole, the
super,
I don't know,
metal. Yeah, that happened to be the day I was kind of upset with you, and I kind of put a curse on your car. It wasn't a blessing, it was a curse.
I had major problems with that car.
But you're still driving the same car that you've had?
No, that car, I traded it in for a newer car.
Now you know why.
She's got a RAV.
I have a RAV.
But you've had it for a long time.
It's an 04.
Yeah, I like the style. I prefer it to the new one.
And it only has 46,000 miles and an 04. It's bad, right?
Beautiful. I was hoping you would gift it to me at one point. But because what I did, and then we'll get into it, because we've just been gone for so long.
Yeah, too long. Yes.
I had, when I came back from Patmos, I had had this accident, you know, and I'd cracked my head open. I could have died. Don't know how I survived it, you know, because
really?
I was.
We know.
Anyway, and what was really interesting, Patmos is the island where St. John wrote the Book of Revelation, and that's why I went to make a retreat there, and I wanted to visit the cave where he wrote the last book of the Bible. It's the apocalyptic island. And so we got there. Actually, this is a good story, I think, you know, because...
Please go on.
Oscar met me. I had taken a group through Italy on pilgrimage, and then he flew to Rome. We flew there to... We made the retreat together. We flew to Athens, then had to take a little plane to Samos. I think Samos is the name of the island. And then from there, I had to take a 3-hour boat ride, ferry boat. They have these ferry boats to Patmos, which is right near Turkey, but it's part of all those islands in Greece. And we got there. It was storming all day, so we were supposed to leave at noon. Mm-hmm. Didn't get out of Samos until... 8 o'clock at night, I think it was. It was dark. It was in November. It was cold. It was stormy, and actually, while we were on the waiting for the ferry boat, you know, people started coming, and they were just feeding us, you know, squid right out of the ocean and all that, right out of the sea. It was just really, really great. But anyway, we got to Patmos. I was so tired. So I had my own apartment. Oscar had his apartment. He was upstairs. I was on the main floor. And then Peter, the guy who owned the building, the young guy, had his apartment on the lower, like in a basement kind of an area. So I didn't even look at the room. I just went to bed, and it was so dark. The doors are these doors where you have to, the key is in the door. I mean, you have to use the key.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a very old building. So at some point I woke up, and it was pitch black. It was just dark. I didn't look at the building. I didn't look at the apartment. I had to figure out where things were. And I got up, and it was just because I think, what time is it? And it's pitch black. I'm just going to go back to bed. And I dove into the bed, and rather than diving into the bed, I dove into a glass table.
Wow.
It cracked my head open. And anyway, to make a long story short, I don't know how I got from there to the bathroom, turned the light on. My head was completely, you know, the blood was just, it was like gushing. It was all over the place. And went to the island. Why am I telling this story? What brought this up?
You know what, Father?
Hold on. I'll get it.
No, it has to do with the faith.
Well, anyway, the point is, this is the apocalypse. Oh, I know, because it's the apocalyptic island. And so they said, you've got to go to, they didn't have there was no doctor. No, there was only a young medic. He was in his early 20s. So he sewed me up, but didn't put any anesthesia. He told me to sit up, and I started bleeding again. I had to go back, and Oscar's father was a surgeon, so I said, "No, you gotta re-sew that,
fix that up."
And anyway, they sent me off back on the ferry boat to go into the hospital in Samos. So I was there, and I was in the emergency room, and everybody's smoking. In the emergency room.
This is how they really do it.
There's blood all over the place, you got to be hospitalized. I said, I'm going home. You can't go. You can't go to the States. I said, well, can I at least fly to Rome? So I went back to Rome, and I had to stay a week or 2 weeks. Right, and then I came back.
Yes.
But the point is, I came back, and. I was all bandaged and black eyes and all that.
Raccoon eyes.
And I'm in the chapel preparing for the Mass. It just happened to be now the Feast of Christ the King. And I open up the first reading, and it's from the book of Revelation. And it reads, I, John, your brother, from the island of Patmos. And I thought, wow, this is very providential. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept reading and reading and reading. And I got to the part where God sends out the angels to mark the foreheads of his servants. And so I'd gone to Patmos, came back.
With the mark.
With a completely marked forehead. It's in the shape of a towel.
A towel. The cross.
The towel cross. And anyway, I don't know why we brought that.
It was a sacred scripture.
Now I remember when Jerry marked... Jerry was so upset.
She scolded Oscar.
She marked Oscar because she's like, how could you only had one job to protect Father?
To take care of Father.
Take care of him.
And I will never forget, Father. I didn't get to see you because I was in Mexico. I went to Mexico.
Okay, yeah.
So when it happened, I got a call from Oscar. Oh, we're over here. Father had a minor accident. Right. And I'm like, okay. He's like, he's okay. And then he's like, okay, he's not okay. I'm like, what is it? I'm like, I need to speak to him. I have to talk to him. Put him on the phone. Put him on the phone. And then you started joking, you know. And I said, okay, he's all right. He's being himself. But your voice was a little shaky because you lost all that blood.
Well, they did. I did. You know, when I went back to the apartment, I thought, my gosh, it looked like somebody had been slaughtered. The blood was everywhere. And but the funny thing is... not funny, but I mean, it was just kind of strange. I don't remember how that was, but the medic told me to eat and sleep.
Oh.
And actually, one way or the other, you're not supposed to eat and you're not supposed to sleep.
No, not with head injuries.
I couldn't sleep anyway, but anyway, that was okay.
Well, you're here. You survived.
We survived.
This is how we survived.
Survived.
The ongoing adventure.
Suffice
of
to
life.
Say that now the apartment there has night lights on every floor.
Well, the thing is, the guy that was in the lower apartment, he heard the hit.
Right.
He heard like a bang, a loud bang.
It woke him up. And so, again, I don't know how I got. Anyway, God's grace was there. So I don't know why we got into that.
Well, the beginning of the radio program, you say, I, John, share the... Oh, you used to say that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Share the distress.
And that all comes from that.
Yes.
You know? I, John, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
Writing from the island of Patmos.
And you even mentioned that when they were sewing you up, there was an image of...
An icon of Christ.
Christ, right there. So
the only thing that was in the... in the room.
In the room.
These are not coincidences.
No, so no, he, no, it really wasn't.
That was a confirmation that he was there with you.
But that's the thing, coming back, and the first scripture I read in preparation for the homily is, I, John, from the island of Patmos, I, John, your brother from the island of Patmos, share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Anyway, now if we go back to this past Sunday, Jesus stated in the gospel very clearly, he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So this lifting up was prefigured in the Old Testament. If you recall, that's mm-hmm. when the people had gone astray. They were in their sojourn through the desert, and Moses was up in the mountain, received the Ten Commandments, and the people were impatient, and they were angry, and they turned their back on God, and they built the golden calf, and they're involved in all kinds of abominations, right? Mm-hmm. And so God punished the people. And then at the pleading of Moses, who was in the breach interceding on behalf of the people, God lifted up, took the serpent. But by the way, this is why the doctors have the serpent around.
It was the shepherd's staff, no? Like
I
a wooden,
so. Yeah.
Wooden, which is...
But it's a symbol of healing.
The healing.
So Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, and all those who looked upon the serpent were healed. And so this is a prefiguration in the Old Testament, which is fully realized on the Mount of Calvary, and is perpetuated in the raising of the Blessed Sacrament at every Holy Mass. So as Jesus was raised up on the cross, it's through his crucifixion that we've been healed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so as just as the lifting of Jesus on the cross is the pivotal moment of history, the sign that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life, so too the pivotal point of the Holy Mass is showing forth Christ, the raising of the consecrated host and chalice, the precious body and blood of Jesus, showing forth Christ very much alive and in our midst, the source of mercy, the source of our forgiveness, our healing, our salvation. When you think of the whole of history, and you have to ask yourself, where are we at now? History is characterized by the constant falling and rising of the human race, the falling and the rising of a wounded and sinful humanity whose only redemption is God, who came to us in the flesh to atone for our sins and invite us into right relationship with God. And nothing, nothing should obscure the centrality of our worship and adoration of God, which is the holy sacrifice. Jesus lifted on the cross that those who gaze on him in faith and in repentance may be admitted to the table of the banquet to consume him who they adore and thereby be lifted up into his divinity. So our adoration is an act of gratitude for God's greatest attribute, which is mercy. So we enter the Mass not to celebrate ourselves. See, so we're in this Eucharistic year, the revival of the Eucharistic revival. But this is, but I'm suggesting that in this Eucharistic revival, we should not obscure the centrality of our worship and adoration of God, which is woven into the holy sacrifice. Our adoration is an act of gratitude for God's greatest attribute, which is mercy. We enter into the Holy Mass not to celebrate ourselves, but to celebrate the Father who's redeemed us in the sending of his only begotten Son to expiate our sins. So Jesus is the priest and victim. He offered himself, an offering holy, pleasing, and acceptable to the Father. And as we heard in the second reading last Sunday, as St. Paul said, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us life with Christ. By grace we have been saved, raised up in Christ. So again, and then we'll take a break here. Nothing should obscure the centrality of our worship and adoration of God, which is the Holy Sacrifice. This is what we call the Messianic Hour. We're going to talk about this, not today, but later. I speak about that all the time. But with that, let's just take a break, because I want to come back to the Book of Chronicles, because, again, we have to ask ourselves, where are we in our era of history? Are we falling, or are we rising? Because history is characterized by this constant falling and rising of the human race. Our only stability, our only constancy is Almighty God. From God we come, to God we go. We're created by God, for God, not for ourselves. We have to be docile, receptive, disposed, humble to the inner working of God's Spirit. So take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I asked a question, you know, and I said history is characterized by this constant falling and rising of the human race. The falling, the rising of wounded and sinful humanity, whose only redemption is God. You know, Jesus lifted up on the cross, and that lifting up is perpetuated. Calvary is the pivotal moment, the Messianic hour. Really, that Messianic hour is the suffering, death, resurrection, the ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit. So in John's Gospel, that's the hour, the Messianic hour. But what's central there is the lifting up, you know, Jesus offering him, the priest offering himself, the victim of sacrifice, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sins of the world. And so that lifting up on the cross is the source of our salvation, our forgiveness, salvation, healing, His mercy, His greatest attribute, which is mercy, His love, which is incomprehensible, is made manifest in the offering of His life in obedience to the Father on the cross. But when we read the book of Chronicles, you know, as we had this, I didn't bring the reading down with me, I should have, but this was going back to 586 BC when the people had turned away from God, the people of the covenant. So we're talking, you know, 586 BC, so figure out how many years, you know, how far back that is. But they had turned away from the alliance, away from the covenant, the disobedient to the laws of God, had no regard for God's law, guilty of all kinds of idolatries, and there were all kinds of abominations in the temple. And the reading stipulates very clearly the corruption on the part of princes, which would be government, priests, and the people. So in our time, as in that time, prophetic voices were clamoring for authenticity in the right worship of God, that we not avert our attention from the holy sacrifice wrought for our salvation. So are we not seeing yet again, as in the time of the Israelites and at other times in history, infidelity on the part of princes, priests, and the people, practicing abominations and polluting our temples with little regard for truth, beauty, and goodness, those signs and symbols of our consecration to the Lord? Because again, in 586 BC, such abominations resulted in God's chastisement. And that meant, and we read that, the loss of the nation, the destruction of the temple, the exile of the people. But for what purpose? The chastisement, to reawaken them to their right relationship with God and right relationship one to another in deference to God's law. The people of the covenant were brought low in order to bring them to repentance from the sacrileges committed against the covenant and proper worship of God. And so it's been the case, you know, throughout history that we fall through our own faults, but we're raised up if we humbly respond to God's grace and mercy. As Jesus stated so clearly in the gospel this past week, he said, "This is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness. They preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. They did not come toward the light for fear their deeds be exposed." Again, I ask, you know, where are we in our time in history? Because it really, it feels, and I hear this from people everywhere, it feels like we're in collapse. We're falling through our own fault, because God wants to lift us up, raise us up. Even in the church, the renewal, the reform of the church as a sacrament mediating God's grace to the world, this renewal and reform will be realized only when we rid ourselves of all that averts our attention from the central reality of our redemption. Again, prefigured in the Old Covenant, realized on the Mount of Calvary, and perpetuated on the altar of sacrifice. This is so central. So central. Because He redeemed us, saved us from our slavery to sin and death. Yet we've yet to die. We are sinners. And so that salvific and sanctifying grace. It's not repeated. He died once and for all. The Messianic hour ushers in the Messianic age. We're in the Messianic age. But that sacrifice is perpetuated, is renewed, is reproduced on the altar of sacrifice, which becomes the table of the banquet. If we enter into that sacrifice, offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. So the renewal of the church, the reform of the church, has to, we have to rid ourselves of all that diverts our attention, again, from the central reality of our redemption, prefigured in the Old Covenant, realized on the Mount of Calvary, perpetuated on the altar, a sacrifice, which means humility and reverence in worship with our focus on the atoning death of Jesus Christ, raised on the cross to bring forgiveness, to bring mercy, to bring healing and salvation, brings us to bend our knees in gratitude and adoration before Jesus raised up. In this, we acknowledge our gratitude to the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Does that make sense? Are you with me?
Yes.
That is so central and has to be spoken about and has to be made evident in as central to the why of our going to Mass. Daniel, we'll take a final break, a quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap up, okay? So don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on AM 750 WNDC.
You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, you know, I don't think anybody who's living in reality would deny the fact that we're living in an era of great confusion and chaos. I certainly, again, I hear this all the time. And you feel it. You see it. You know, there's this kind of toxicity in the air. There's I hear it from especially young people. Especially young people.
It's just confusion. You don't know. You say one thing and you do something else. And it's worse than gets me.
Well, like somebody said today, you know, even watching the news, you don't know what's truth and what's, you know,
exactly.
It's hard to distinguish between what is true, what is not true. I certainly gravitate to what I perceive to be truth because it resonates with what I'm going through or what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing from the people.
It seems that everything has to be a show. And if you really, certain people look for certain things. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, I think in the years too, that's what the Mass has kind of morphed into. That's why I sit and I when I hear things like this and I get in touch with what it really is about, there's no way I can perceive it as something to make me happy, something to make
me because people want to be entertained.
No.
And the Mass is not, it's
not
deeper. I appreciate that you said that, Father. I'm not here to entertain you. This is not even about us.
This isn't a circus.
It's not a clown.
It's not a pachanga.
Yeah. It goes deeper.
It goes much
deeper.
And maybe that's the problem, is maybe what's being projected is our superficiality,
yeah.
our shallowness, which is something we'll maybe get into on Thursday, but the need for solitary prayer. Because, you know, as and I'll kind of conclude with this, but so in this time of confusion and chaos, there are indeed prophetic voices, and they're often not heard. There's the words are being spoken, but they're being outright rejected. Mm-hmm. But that seek the proper worship of God, bringing restoration to all in life that is sacred. And I quoted on Sunday Saint Prosper of Aquitaine, who wrote in the 5th century, and you've heard me say this before, but for as we pray, so we believe, and as we believe, so we live. So really, again, the bottom line is we absolutely must avert attention away from ourselves and humbly bend our knees at the name of Jesus and fix our eyes on the Lord, lift it up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That means really acknowledging before the Father our gratitude for that pivotal moment in the history of the human race, God who came to us in the flesh, laid out the blueprint, he who didn't sin, took our sins to himself, allowed himself to be taken by force, the supreme high priest, the only priest, who offers himself the lamb of sacrifice. Again, in expiation for our sins. Somebody needs to acknowledge before the Father. Because, again, as Jesus said, God so loved the world, the Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. Yet people chose darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And so those prophetic voices need to be heard. Today, it's a small flock suffering the faith, participating in the redemptive work of Jesus for the salvation and the sanctification of the wounded and sinful of our era of history. Because again, I don't think there's any denying the fact that we are in a fallen state. And God, in order to restore us, will he not manifest himself in order to save us from ourselves, awaken us to who he is, who we are, and who we must be in relation to him and he in relation to us? I think it's obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We shall be back. I'm not going anywhere unless God chooses to take me somewhere, wherever. Thanks so much for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see?